Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. This is the broadcast for September 27th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yeah, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, is our blueprint, our guide. That, along with the checks and balances wisely put in place by our founding fathers, good, honest, moral, Christian people standing with those things cannot lose. That's why we don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. No doubt should be in order. Last hour, we talked a lot about the debates. Quick breakdown for our guest to get caught up. The majority of snap polls shows that Trump won the debate by a landslide. Trump scores points by sticking to issues. But Sam Bushman, me, I believe that Hillary ate him alive. Donald literally melted down. Now, the bottom line is nobody did very well in the debates, if you ask me. Neither Trump nor Clinton focused on what they would do if they were actually elected. Neither of them focused on what they would do. Neither candidate focused on real solutions. Nobody mentioned the promotion of God, family, or country, or the protection of life, liberty, and property. Clinton argued for stricter background checks and literal gun control, and Donald didn't even really disagree. Clinton is a little bit more right than Donald on stop and frisk. It is unconstitutional. It's bogus. Nevertheless, neither of them would do what the Constitution calls for. Lester Holt turned out to be the third debater. Holt interrupted Trump way more than Clinton. Asked Trump 6 follow-up questions, Clinton none. Interrupted Trump 41 times, Clinton only 7. Hillary wins round 1, says Joseph Fair of WorldNet Daily. I hate to say this because I believe the election of Donald Trump is profoundly important for the future of the country, but hey, bottom line is, she cleaned his clock in the great debate, says Joseph Farah. She attacked, he defended. Now, both Trump and Clinton denied making statements that they're both on the record of stating, so they both lied. Clinton says, I have a feeling by the end of this evening, I'll be blamed for everything that's ever happened. Donald quips, why not? Trump says, yes, Hillary has experience, but it's bad experience. He's right. Fact check, Trump is right on Hillary's flip-flop on TPP. Clinton slams GOP nominees. Trumped-up trickle-down tax plan, one of the best lines in the debate. Trump says, I'll release taxes when the audit's over or when Hillary releases her deleted emails. Donald Trump blasts the Fed for creating a bubble to prop up the Obama presidency. Hillary Clinton doubled down on Obama's failed economic policies. Clinton's State Department online counterterrorism organization is a failure. Trump called Hillary Secretary Clinton while she called him the Donald. And there you have it. I didn't really see a whole lot of substance. I really didn't. Now, Kirk Crosby wisely pointed out that, you know what? Donald did act presidential. He didn't attack. He didn't get ruffled. He wasn't belligerent. He treated her like a lady for the most part. And he'll get plenty of points for being mellow. And before 100 million viewers, Donald did not show what the mainstream press characterizes as he can't handle attacks or whatever. He did very well. He just literally shrugged it off and said he was nice to people. And when they talked about women, he just said, look, I'm not talking about her looks, but she doesn't look presidential in terms of I don't think she has the stamina to be president. He delivered in a way that really will let 100 million viewers see a different side of Donald, which will benefit him greatly. So Kurt focused on that and pointed that out. Our guest, Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable post-debate coverage, sir.
Hey, good to be on your show once again.
What do you say, though? The mainstream is saying, you know what? All these polls are saying Donald won, but the mainstream press is saying Hillary won. I think Hillary literally won.
Yeah, I would give the edge to her. I don't see. I read Joe Farah's article this morning also where he said that Hillary cleaned his clock. I don't quite agree with that. I mean, I think that she showed herself better prepared. She was better equipped with facts and so on. But I don't know that that helps with Joe Sixpack. I think, frankly, that Trump spoke to Joe Sixpack guys out there. I mean, I think that what he had to say resonated with them pretty well. And I would say it was pretty close to a draw, and with a little bit of an edge going to Clinton. She did well. I mean, let's face it, she was able to stand up there for 90 minutes, and she didn't, her eyes didn't go off in a weird direction. She didn't go into any coughing spells. She didn't have any spasmatic jerks of her head or anything like that. So,
and she had clear mental thought, that's for sure. She was very clear and direct in her delivery. Her delivery was very well delivered. It was presidential. That's kind of where Donald fell apart a little bit, too. He's kind of like the Me Too guy in a way.
Kind of. But in terms of zingers, you know, he missed a lot of opportunities. And as you already alluded to, I think Lester Holt, his moderator, clearly was on the side of Hillary. He didn't, he asked questions about the birther issue and his treatment of women and things of that nature, which were clearly a problem for Trump. But he didn't get into Benghazi. He barely touched on the emails. There's a whole lot of things that he didn't get into with Hillary that he could have, questions he could have asked about her if he wanted to be fair and balanced in the way he asked questions that they had problems with. But Trump missed a lot of opportunities. I mean, there's no question he could have. He had opportunities to really zing her on the on her emails. I mean, he did get one good one in there, saying that he would release his tax return when she released the 33,000 emails that she deleted.
Yeah, but again, you know, she called him a liar, and he just kind of didn't say much. He should have said, you know, the mainstream press over the weekend all teamed up to call me a liar, and now you're calling me a liar. And Hillary, I don't mean to be offensive, but your husband committed perjury on the stand and got impeached for it.
Yep.
And now you're following in his footsteps, and you literally perjured yourself on the stand, and then you instructed your aides to destroy evidence in the face of a court order, and you're going to call me a liar. Are you serious?
Right.
But see, there was nothing like that. There wasn't a single breakout moment for Trump. Not a one.
No. And you're right. He was on defense too much of the time.
But I believe, Jim, in the modern day election, which, you know, make me want to kind of hurl pretty much. But in the modern day that we've got, you referenced Joe Sixpack, and I will bring up again, you know, the woman factor, or the lady factor. And that is, I think more than 50% of the votes come from women. And if somebody is astute enough to understand that, and then they got to somehow, as a man, try to understand the thought processes of a woman and the way she figures out who to vote for, I think that was done well by Trump here. And maybe he did it without even understanding it.
I think his advisors told him to do it, and I think you're right. It will take him way further than I'm giving credit for. Kurt's correct on that, Jim.
So you're saying that you think that he appealed to women last night?
Yeah, and he appealed kind. In other words, they pitched Donald as this rabid, belligerent guy that just can't take a single attack and melts down and gets crazy and says just horrible things. And he did none of that last night. None of it.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I think he didn't, because he didn't erupt, he didn't take her bait, and he didn't react the way he's portrayed to be reacting, that at least it didn't hurt him. I have a little reservation about saying that he really helped his cause with the women. I don't know. I didn't think he, when Hillary accused him of calling women, I don't know, fat slobs, pigs, and all that stuff, didn't think he defended himself very well on that, or didn't come back with them. What he could have done, he could have come back and reminded her of the things that her husband actually did to women.
And that's exactly what should have happened. He also could have said, you know, you weren't feeling that way when you were at my wedding, Hillary. Liberty Roundtable Live with Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com, in seconds.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Donald just emailed me and said we defeated Hillary last night. All right, there you go. Everybody's claiming...
That's the final word.
Yeah, everybody's claiming victory there, Jim. Now, one of the things that matters to me the most, again, like I said, nothing was brought up in terms of God, family, and country and the protection thereof or promotion thereof and the protection of life, liberty, property. The only time the Constitution even got brought up was when Hillary said, hey, man, stop and frisk ain't constitutional. Well, she's right, Jim.
Well, she's right. I'm not so sure
that her conclusions are correct from that.
I don't think she said that. I think what she said was the court said it was unconstitutional.
Okay, that's right. Good point. That's a great point.
So, But of course, that illustrates the weakness of so many of our politicians. They view whatever the court says as being correct. So wrong reason, correct result, I guess I would say.
Agreed. You're exactly right. Now, I think that stop and frisk is unconstitutional. And I think the court's got it right for once. I'm not sure their actual conclusions and details and breakdowns are correct. But all I'm telling you is, look, unless there's literal probable cause, you can't just stop and frisk people randomly. And I certainly think that it has the potential for race manipulation there. And, it starts to get into profiling and some of those things, which I'm not that comfortable with. Although I will say this, I don't have a problem with profiling. I don't have a problem with saying men commit more crimes than women. I don't have a problem with saying, you know what, usually people with super long hair and muscle cars commit more crimes or whatever the case be. I don't have a problem with those profilings, including race. And I know that's very offensive, and I don't mean it to be. But I'm telling you this, most of the crimes when it comes to shooting people are committed by blacks in this country. That's not meant to be a racial statement. It's just reality. If you don't believe me, go to Chicago. Blacks are killing blacks, and the Black Lives Matters don't even talk about it, right? I don't mean this to be a racial discussion, but I do mean to bring it up and say, you know what, probable cause does require some degree of profiling, right?
Of course it does. And I mean, it only makes sense. If you talk to anybody who's well-versed in police work or in law enforcement and so on, criminal matters, you know that it only makes sense. I mean, just like with the TSA at the security checks at the airport. You know, to frisk 98-year-old woman and things of that nature, it's bizarre. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Let me give you the ultimate profiling. Hey, blind people rarely go into banks and hold the bank up. Blind people just don't do that.
Yeah, that's right. So why would you spend your time?
Now, I know that's an extreme example, but I use it because it relates to me, so no one can say that I'm mocking anybody that's disabled. I'm just telling you that blind people and people in wheelchairs just don't usually go in and rob banks. The getaway is problematic, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you want to curtail crime, you look at for the people most likely to commit the crimes. And if they happen to be young, if they happen to be male, they happen to be a certain nationality, a certain race, you know, it doesn't mean you ignore the rest. And that's not racist. It's not racial in itself. It's simply recognizing the facts.
They don't have any problem profiling us constitutionalists or us people that believe in God or us people that believe in the rule of law at all, do they?
No, they sure don't. And the IRS doesn't either.
Them white baby-making Christians are crazy, they say, right?
That's right. That's the way they treat us.
So where do we go with this debate? You know, I personally believe that a lot of opportunities were missed. I personally believe that Donald could have had a breakout moment or two or three, but he chose not to. He may be wiser than I. That's why I don't run for office. In the sense that, you know what, he did not trigger. He showed 100+ million people that he can take a tax and just smile and blow it off. He did, when going to Mexico, prove that he can negotiate with people and meet with people presidentially, if you will. So he's done a lot of good there. The question is, what do you think will happen? Do you think Donald or Hillary will win?
Well, you know, we're still, what, 5-6 weeks out? And so it's difficult to say. I mean, I hate to stick my neck out too far, but if I had to make a prediction now, I'm still going to predict that Trump will win. I think he's got the momentum. I think he's got the fervency. There's much more of a movement. His followers or his supporters are much more committed than Hillary's supporters by and large. Now, there's that great middle ground. There's a lot of ambivalence in the middle there, no question about that. But my observation and experience is that the one who can generate the most fervent support is one who ends up winning. Now, that's not always true, but that's generally true.
Do you think the vote fraud will play a part?
Oh, I think it easily could. It easily could, and I don't think he should be talking about that. I think other people should be talking about it, but it sounds like he's preparing to be a sore loser when he talks about it himself. I'm talking about Trump. But the fact is, I mean, here in Philadelphia, we had, and now I didn't personally or independently verify this, but I believe I was told in what I believe is good authority that there were 90-plus precincts in the city of Philadelphia where not a single Republican vote was cast. Now, I haven't heard it refuted either, so I'm believing that is correct. And if that's the case, and then that's apart from the other things that we saw where there were blatant violations, undisputed blatant violations of election law, and where they had union thugs and other people at present polling places and to make sure the vote went the way they wanted it. So, you know, with that type of thing, you know that there is voter fraud. I mean, no reasonable person can deny that there's voter fraud in these cities. And I'm a judge of elections in my own precinct, and I know how easy it would be to commit voter fraud if there were no checks and balances, and the people have no moral scruples, because you can do it, and that's what you have in the big cities. You have hundreds of precincts where it's all one party, and there's nobody to be there to watch them and to check them. In many precincts throughout the country, and especially the rural areas, you have people of different, you have poll watchers there. You have people of different parties who are there to make sure the process is running properly and correctly. But if you have people where it's dominated completely by one party and there's nobody there to watch them and nobody to make sure it's being done properly and they have no conscience, no scruples about violating the law, I'm telling you, it'd be very easy to manipulate the election results.
You got that right. Now, Glenn Beck apologized to his listeners for backing Ted Cruz now that Ted Cruz has endorsed Donald Trump. Maybe Glenn Beck needs to endorse Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley.
Yeah, he ought to. And I don't know, he sort of gave him short shrift when he had Darrell Castle on his program, you know, a couple weeks ago, and in my view did not treat him very respectfully, but you would think that he should. He absolutely should. And just let me throw this in here too, of course. We had a meeting here in Pennsylvania, the Constitution Party, this past Saturday, and Darrell Castle spoke by video. He wasn't there in person. But boy, just the refreshing difference between what you get with somebody like Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley and the way they speak to the issues, the way they speak to what a constitutional government would look like.
Yeah, and they're coming to Utah, ladies and gentlemen. Darrell Castle will be in Utah later this week. We'll talk about that. Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com. We're going to talk about the meltdown debate that took place last night where there were no solutions with the solution-oriented candidates of Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Judge Alex Kaczynski of the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals predicts that the report produced by the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, or PCAST, will fundamentally change the way many criminal trials are conducted by calling for new and more demanding standards regarding the collection of forensic evidence and the certification of specialized expert witnesses. Americans have long had an abiding faith in science, including forensic science, wrote Judge Kaczynski in the Wall Street Journal. Popular TV shows like CSI and Forensic Files stoke this confidence. Yet the PCAST report, will likely upend many people's beliefs, as it should. Why trust a justice system that imprisons and even executes people based on junk science? The report concludes that only the most basic form of DNA analysis is scientifically reliable, with more exotic variations being little better than rank guesswork. Latent fingerprinting, the longest established and most trusted forensic science approach, is also called into question. Some widely used forensic approaches have absolutely no scientific basis, such as the examination of char patterns that supposedly betoken arson. At least one defendant, Texas resident Cameron Todd Willingham, was convicted on the basis of char patterns. In his case, he was found guilty of murder and executed. Similar deficiencies are found in the use of shoe print and tire track evidence. Many of the millions incarcerated in the United States may have been convicted using unreliable or fabricated forensic science, concludes Judge Kaczynski. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped. And having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Kirk Crosby, Jim Clymer, and Sam Bushman. Post-debate breakdown. I believe the debate was kind of a failure, at least for the American people, because nothing really got accomplished in terms of substance of what they'll do if they get elected, of issues that relate to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, of the promotion of God, family, and country, of the protection of life, liberty, and property, what they would do if they would get elected. Really, none of those details were covered. It was all surfacey and attack one another and everything else, etc. But you contrast that, as Jim Clymer wisely points out before the break, with the refreshing delivery of a Darrell Cashel, Scott Bradley, presidential and vice presidential candidates for the Constitution Party, Jim.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's just a world of difference. And that's what gives me hope, though, that the people out there are promoting true constitutional solutions. I mean, that's one thing that disturbs me about Trump. I mean, if you look, giving him in his best light, you would hope that there's some avenue for change because he's against the establishment, or rather the establishment is so much against him. But he has seemed to have no concern whatsoever for the Constitution. You never hear him saying anything about what might be what might constrain him in his actions by the Constitution. It's just, you know, it's not a subject that seems to enter his mind at all. And that's clearly so different, so such a stark contrast from Darrell Cashel and Scott Bradley, who guide every policy, every principle, every action that they would take by the guidance of the Constitution.
Now, in my endorsement of Darrell Cashel and Scott Bradley, it's written, it's official, it's public. I mentioned a couple things that I really want to cover in this contrast because I think it's important. Darrell Cashel and Scott Bradley have been found by me, Sam Bushman, to be good, honest, and wise men. I am convinced their valiant leadership in the sacred cause of liberty, their demonstration of complete fidelity in their personal and public lives, and their true fundamental understanding of the American principles make them uniquely qualified for my endorsement on the next leaders of the free world. This is interesting to denote about good, honest, and wise. I don't think that you can say that Donald Trump and or Hillary Clinton are good, honest, and wise. Both of them are quite foolish. Both of them are not honest. Good is a debate about what good means, but to me it means moral, sir. And I don't think either of them qualify.
No, they don't. Absolutely not. And again, that's a stark contrast between both of them and Derek Castle and Scott Bradley. And I just wish that more people could hear their message. And that's the sad part of this, that it's not their message is not getting out. You hear some things about Gary Johnson. He's getting a fair amount of press. And
Jill Stein got hauled away by the cops.
Yeah, well, she put herself in that situation. If we're talking about the same thing.
I don't think that's a wise person there, you know.
No, absolutely not.
Now, after all, I say the issue is honesty. It's about the company you keep. It's about moral leadership. The status quo has got to go. And even though Donald Trump does talk about change, he wants to make America great again. I agree with the slogan. I just don't see how he's going to get there, though.
You don't see how he's going to get, you mean, to win the presidency?
Well, I mean, even if he wins, how's he going to make America great again? If you don't talk about God, family, and country, if you don't talk about the protection of life, liberty, and property, if you don't understand the Constitution, in other words, the checks and balances that makes America tick, if you don't realize that we got to downsize the scope of government big time and literally start shutting down unconstitutional government agencies, if you don't understand we can't be a warlike people, we've got to be a peace-loving American people that defend our own borders and keep our nose clean and stay out of foreign complications, I don't see how you're going to change the game. You can't do it without turning back to God.
You can't. I mean, there'd be a moral vacuum. And you can't rule, you can't govern with the moral vacuum. It just doesn't work in the long run. And he, like I said before, first of all, he you never hear him holding the Constitution in high regard or feeling any constraints of the Constitution on what he might do. But besides that, what's I think even more troubling is when he seems to copy some of the Democrats' bad points, and you know, talking about providing child care and things like that. I mean, what business does the federal government, or what power is given to the federal government to involve itself with child care for working mothers? I mean, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's a good idea or not, it's not something that the federal government has any authority to be involved with.
Now, while Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton battle back and forth and debate raising $20 million and $50 million and $100 million, and while Donald focuses on spending $140 million on the mainstream press that he criticized the whole time, now he wants to put a chunk of change in their hands. Daryl Castle and Scott Bradley are just struggling to make sure they're on the ballot, but they're getting that done, right?
Well, that door is pretty much closed at this point. All the deadlines have passed, and so this.
What do they get though? 46 or 48 states?
Unfortunately, no.
No,
it's not near that many. Now, there's a number of states where we're getting on. Some states have where you qualify as a write-in, and so I think if you count all the write-in states, you'll be up there, but as far as actually being on the ballot, you know, we're only looking at like 24 states, so that's not where it should be.
Wow. Kurt, you want to chime in on this contrast here? You can look at both sides of the aisle versus constitutional candidates.
Well, you know, when I look at this picture, it makes me think of the continual debate of the whole. Well, if you vote there, you'll have a wasted vote. You know, that's what people will say, and I simply would say, if I'm able to vote with my conscience for a free and, a good man or woman, you know, whatever the case may be, I feel that that's a sacred privilege, and it's a sacred blessing afforded me by, so many of the past. And all I can say is I'm grateful to be able to cast a vote for Darrell Castle, Scott Bradley. Whether I've got to write him in or otherwise, it's nice to know I have somebody I can truly be for.
Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you're fortunate in the state of Utah. He's going to be on the ballot there, as we are in Pennsylvania. We're on the ballot in Pennsylvania here for the first time since 2004, believe it or not. And that's because we won a lawsuit. We had challenged the election code and in a federal lawsuit, and we won that. And so our made it a lot easier to get on. It was an almost impossible burden before. So we are on the ballot. The Constitution Party is on the ballot here in Pennsylvania this year for the first time in 12 years. So that's statewide. We got on local races before, but not statewide. So
yes, you know, it's interesting to me, Jim. I believe if you asked most Americans, they would be shocked to find how many obstacles there really are to being on the ballot. Most Americans think that, hey, you know, if you're a kid, you can grow up to be the president. you know, that kind of thing. And yet, there's nothing, I don't know if there's nothing further from the truth, but there's a whole lot.
Good point.
That varies from that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And I found out so many times, people who are not involved in the process, who are not involved in and don't realize what it is, they have no idea how difficult it is to get in the ballot. And that's the curse for third parties, is spending all their money to get it, just to get on the ballot. And so we have to, we basically have a campaign against the government in getting ballot access before we ever get a chance to present our case to the people. And of course, that's the way they want it. They want to keep it. It's the Republicans and Democrats who make the rules, and they want to keep it that way so that they don't have the competition. They don't want...
Amen to that. Hold on, Jim. We'll talk about it. I have an idea. We'll talk about it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station. Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com, our guest. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, leave it to Sam Bushman, the one-man think tank, to come up with the ideas. Let's float this, see what Kirk Crosby and Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com, think about my idea. I take my page out of the blue book, or playbook, if you will, for the Voter Values Summit. You know, that was just in the beginning. A couple of Christians that said, hey, you know what? We want to have a summit where we can hear the candidates and have them speak to us about Christianity, about our values. We don't like the questions from the secular mainstream, from the mainstream media. We as the Christians are going to put together our own summit. And at first, 20 years ago, everybody used to kind of mock it and be like, whatever, those Christians don't matter. And they didn't garner any attention from anybody, really. But over time now, they've become popular and well-known, and they actually have a pretty large contingent of voters that have to be paid attention to now. In fact, so much so that Donald Trump literally went to the Value Voters Summit and spoke. And good for the Donald for being willing to do that. Hillary obviously didn't do it. Nevertheless, I bring that up in this fashion. I think that Daryl Castle ought to invite Jill Stein and Gary Johnson to a third-party presidential debate. And I think Sam Bushman ought to moderate that sucker. And we ought to go ahead and just have a real debate here. And you can laugh at us and say, oh, only five people will pay attention. Might be true, but over the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, as third parties become more and more and more real, as Americans become disenfranchised and locked out and feel like they don't have a place to go, they will realize that there are options, there are solutions, there are people who listen to them, who resonate with their views, and who truly will make a difference. And so I think that we ought to create this opportunity where we have a third-party debate. And it would be Daryl Castle inviting Jill Stein and Gary Johnson to that debate. And, you know, right now, if you take Gary Johnson's, what, 9%, some claim, Jill's 3%, some claim, who knows what Daryl's got, you put it all together, it might be literally 10, 15, maybe even 20% of the vote, because I believe they underestimate those numbers in an effort to make sure they don't get to take part in the debates. Nevertheless, you might have a sizable contingency. You might have fair questions. Instead of having some secret debate commission that everybody agrees behind the scenes to these whatever rules, I would simply say, look, we're going to take a couple of questions from Democrats, a couple of questions from Republicans that you guys can ask the third party. I'll take a couple of questions from each of the candidates that they want to ask, quote, each other or in general bring up. That way you know by their questions what topics they want to cover. We will bring up topics of the nation. I'll ask a few questions. We'll put it together in a big bag. We'll have a few of the American people ask questions. And before you know it, we'll come up with this third party debate. I'll moderate. And we can have an absolute heyday of education, sir. What do you think?
Well, I think that'd be a great idea. Why don't you organize it?
Because I don't have the money or the time. I got to run a full-time job, support eight children. No, and
I understand that. I think it's a great idea.
But you're right.
But I'm fearful that it's not going to work, and the reason is this. You're not going to get Gary Johnson. You absolutely will not get Gary Johnson there. I mean, I can guarantee that because he still has his sights set on getting up to the magical 15%, so he can play with the big boys and become a debate participant with Hillary and Donald. So he's not going to demean himself to a third party debate. And we've had that experience with libertarians before. Jill Stein, possibility. When in 2012, the Green Party candidate did, and I guess that was Jill Stein then too, the same one. She agreed to a third party debate. We had a third party debate, but you know, you end up with only people who think that they have no chance for getting in the other debates, the Republican-Democrat debate. But Gary Johnson, that's pretty clear that, you know, he's still hoping that he can get up and get in to play with them.
Kurt, what do you say?
You know, I was just thinking about when you're talking about this thing. Sam will not really like this again, but there's this movie
we just left reality, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's this movie that Robin Williams is in. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I think it's not The American President. Man of the Year is what it's called.
And, all right.
In this movie, what you have is you have Robin Williams plays a talk show, you know, like a night, what do they call them? You know, the guys at night, that broadcast, a comedian kind of guy, but at the same time a talk host. And he is, his audience asked him to basically run for president. And he kind of jokes about it. And there's a huge amount of support from, you know, his audience and the listeners, viewers, or whatever. And in the end, he ends up running a campaign, and he literally wins the election. Part of the twist of the plot includes the fact that there's a new, you know, electronic voting system, and because of the letters in his name compared to the letters in the other two guys' names, you know, it gives him the win, you know, basically voter fraud. But what I was thinking about is amazing to think about how those issues, you know, face us today. We got vote fraud. We got not only the machines, but then the people you're talking about, where you got Philadelphia with not a single Republican vote or whatever, and then you've got all these groups, like in that case, he had to reach a certain percentage or else he couldn't be included.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
The presidential debate. And in the end, because he was included and people were able to learn about him, then he did win. But, you know, just imagine if today in America, what people think, that if somebody is on the ballot, they'd be available to everybody. Because I talk to people all the time that say, well, I didn't even know Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley were, you know, I didn't know the Constitution Party had, you know, candidates. And it's because of what Sam's taught us for over the years. He who owns the media makes the rules. That's just the way it is.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, have you seen the movie Man of the Year? By the way, it's a 2006 American comedy political drama film. They call it comedy drama. And so I've decided that there's no third-party debates. I'm going to go watch that film, and I'm too busy. So there you go.
How are you going to watch it, Sam?
Watch that movie, not you know.
Suggestion for you.
Any third-party debates, though, Kurt? You want to moderate them?
Well, I would prefer, you know, we've got to work on solutions, and we've done this, you know, third-party thing for a long time, I think, at least most of my lifetime that I've been aware of. You know, I would suggest that we as third-party folks, if you will, we unite our funds and we buy the media. And that would give us the voice that we prefer to have instead of all we get with our money is almost on the ballot or on the ballot, and then we try and work on it again the next time. At least we'd have a voice like we hope to have, and we could maybe encourage the debate, if you will, simply because we've got more of the media.
Man, I've been working at that for a long time, too, all of my adult life, almost.
Yeah.
And it's a worthy cause. That Kurt's right about that, Jim.
No, I agree. It certainly is. You have the vision for that, and you're exactly right. That's what we need to be working on. We need to get control of our share of the media, not to dominate, not to be like we used to have, where there are only three networks, and they pretty much controlled the news. I mean, thankfully, there's opportunity has arisen since then where you not only have more networks, you have cable, you have the internet, and you have all kinds of opportunities to create your own media, and you wisely have been pursuing that.
I know Ron Paul literally spent millions on the mainstream press, and now Donald's pumping, what, 150-plus million in so far. That's on his pared-down, we-don't-want-to-spend-much-money plan. And, you know, it's hard for me to understand how they criticize the media all day long of not being fair, and yet that's where they dump their money. It's amazing to me.
Yep, exactly.
And to Kurt's point, I don't really see how that's solutions, Kurt.
Well, it's, I know, it, you know, at least listeners of ours have heard us over the years, over time, but, you know, I'm convinced that each state, literally, the small group of people, you know, whether it's the Constitution Party or the, you know, the other aligned with us kind of listeners and thinkers, if we really did that kind of thing, we could literally buy pieces of the media and really affect the discussion.
Amen to that. Hey, Jim Clymer, you got a parting shot, my friend?
Yeah, we need a George Soros who's a constitutionalist.
Amen to that. Wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com. Learn about the candidates. Learn about the contrast between Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And real solutions based on morals, based on understanding of the supreme law, the checks and balances, and an absolute solution-oriented opportunity to make a difference. Jim Clymer, thank you, my friend.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. This nation shall endure.